Holy Consideration. Sermon from October 8th. I will be away again next weekend. This year has been unusual, I might add. I've shared with many of you that for 20 years I didn't take many Sundays off, not that weren't work-related. There were mission trips and such, but this year, the past 12 months, November to November, have been filled with and nearly end with me doing one wedding after another, especially those for relatives. Next weekend, I will officiate the wedding of a son of one of my dearest friends who happens to be my cousin, Tracy. I'm looking forward to seeing the family. The wedding will be held at a Kentucky horse farm just outside of Louisville. I can't complain much these days about what I get to do, especially as I reflect on the sights of most of the weddings I've done. To be honest, I'm doing fewer and fewer in churches. Most are destination-style weddings, and most of those are held in vineyards. I love the vineyard weddings. The settings are often so spectacular. How can they not be when they're situated with a Blue Ridge backdrop in old Virginia? I'm also amazed at what folks have done with these venues at wineries. Have any of you been to Veritas? The hillside vineyards dotted with sculptures crafted by the local artist Ed Pelton, who did a cross on the outside of our church, actually. Or Pippin Hill. Folks, it's worth the drive up to dine or taste a little wine, though no wine is necessary, on the terrace, simply enjoying the overlook of the mountains and farmland. It's an Art Stowe Red Hill country. My favorite part of Pippin Hill, though, are the flower gardens and the flowers that are planted within the vines. The gardener really truly understands how to use space. Now, the cover photo on our bulletin is not Pippin Hill, but it uses the same concept of making the most of the vineyard. Vine-lined yard. All aspects, not simply utilitarian grape growing going on there, not one-sided but balanced, a beautiful expression. I never tire of places like these and appreciate the care I see given. It is clear that those who tend the gardens there never lose heart or appreciation either. They truly consider their vineyards and what to do with them. Vineyards are being considered in today's scripture as well, deeply, but with a spirit of not joy, but lamentation. The sadness is driven by witnessing appreciation lost. Those gifted the garden, forgetting its blessing, who begin to disregard the gift, taking it for granted instead of celebrating it, caring for it, making the most of it. Even worse, they have forgotten and neglected the one whose hand gave them the vineyard in the first place. First, from the Old Testament reading of Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7. The prophet's lament on behalf of his beloved Lord. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? I have to admit, as a believer and follower of Christ, that the sadness of Isaiah considering the sorrow of God while witnessing the apathy, the lack of care and commitment to the vineyard, resonates with me so very much these days. Each day, every week, the harvest of wild grapes overflow. Tragedy, disaster, hatred, and pompous disregard of mankind's care of the vineyard is getting to me. I shared before my rose-colored remembrances of childhood, knowing just enough, thinking that we had become a kinder, gentler, and more compassionate place just on the other side of the civil rights movement, into the 70s as we exited the disastrous Vietnam War, ousted a corrupt president. Disco ruled. That was groovy. We celebrated our nation's bicentennial and painfully but finally pulled out of a terrible recession near the decade's close. So it is a mishmash of memories. But we learned from it, didn't we? Didn't we learn from that? For those of us who are groomers to boomers, to old Gen Xers, wasn't there hope that there would be no rulers of great nations foolish enough to let all of that happen again? Then September 11th, and 2008 crash. But with that came the election of our first black president. A sign, I prayed, that color didn't matter anymore. Silly me. Folks, whether you voted for him or not, that was a beautiful part of our history. I just couldn't believe it. And then for good reason. Because as we have seen, deep-rooted fear of change and difference quickly cropped up. Wild grapes, the shootings, and mass violence began to grow. Sandy Creek, the Naval Yard, Ferguson, Orlando, Dallas, Charleston, and then our own beloved city of Charlottesville. Not to mention systemic violence when folks thumbed their nose at science, ignoring rising waters and the increased girth of thunderous hurricanes ripping apart our shores and the shores of others. Nuclear threat at the hands of two itchy fingers and sparring egos. And then most recently, Vegas. I lament, don't you? How eerie, then, is today's Vineyard parable, as it seems to read more like recent history. But do we? Will we ever heed its warning? From Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, 31 through 46. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Does this sound a bit like Isaiah? Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And the people said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyards to other tenants who will give him the produce at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom.'" Taken away? Yes. Taken away. Have you never read in the scriptures? Have you never read the scriptures? If your answer is yes, I've read, then you must have had it one time or another considered the vineyard. What to do with the vineyard? What do you do with the vineyard? Have you never read in the scriptures? If your answer is yes, I have read the scriptures, and you must at one time or another considered the vineyard's creator. The landowner described in the parable, yes? The creator of and gifter of the universe, the moon, the stars, this planet. Do you believe in the God whose metaphoric hand set into motion and placed the gift of the garden, the stream, the vineyard? I ask because it makes a difference. It makes a big difference in what comes next, what you choose to believe, how you choose to love the creator, and how you care for his vineyard. Your consideration of the vineyard and its creator will make a difference in what you choose to do next. The news, our world, our city is filled with those who haven't spent holy moments of consideration of either, if ever. Yes, in these times, I'm convinced that as a people, as were in those days of Isaiah, many have forgotten the one who provided the global garden and the abundance it can provide. Enough for all, really, if we'd manage and share its fruits as God intended. Many, I dare say, most of us have forgotten to make time for holy consideration. Time to gather in praise and prayer, share in mindful consideration. Many fail to keep deep-seated thanks. Most step into their day without seeking the Spirit's direction and are soon surrounded by wild grapes. When you skip consideration and practice, it is easy to forget where we are and whose we are, and may forget the gift from the garden and its vineyard, and find ourselves surrounded by slayed servants and, yes, those wild grapes. It is a time of lamentation and warnings. It is a time for holy consideration and choices. So today, through holy consideration, let us choose differently. Let us not forget, but be reminded of the vine, the gardener's gift to us. Today we choose with mindful and holy consideration to plan and plant with intention fruits of the Spirit, walking through the vine-lined garden with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We walk with holy consideration of the one who entrusted us the care of the vineyard. We choose to make the most of what we have been given, never taking the site and soil and vine for granted, and little by little, vine by vine, the tended and loved garden will bear fruit that will be wild no longer. And the beloved one's sorrow will be relieved, and in our celebration of our blessedness, he will be blessed. The landowner from the watchtower's perch will become deliriously happy as his beloved care for and love the vineyard with mindful and holy consideration, such as now as we prayerfully close reading the prayer of the psalmist, Psalm 80. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. Turn again, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand has planted. Amen.